Let's get our Bibles open back up to the book of Philippians this morning, as we are going to continue looking at reasons to rejoice from the book of Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 19 through 24. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. Let's read these verses before we get started with our study. Philippians 2, 19 through 24. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. We've reached the point in our study of this epistle in which Paul is going to be talking about two different men. He's going to talk about Timothy and then a man named Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus we'll discuss the next time we study from Philippians, but today we're going to talk about Timothy. We know that Paul had numerous travel companions and fellow laborers in his efforts, and that these brethren, when they were faithful to the Lord, no doubt they brought Paul an incredible amount of joy. And that is our overall theme as we're studying the book of Philippians, reasons to rejoice. I believe here Paul is giving us two reasons, Timothy and Epaphroditus. There is something special, though, about the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. Paul mentions Timothy over 25 times in his epistles. And of all the letters that Paul wrote, six of them are accredited in part to Timothy. 2 Corinthians, Philippians 1 verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon all have Timothy at least included with Paul as being among the senders of that epistle. Before we look at our text, I'd like for us to do a very brief character study of Timothy, learn some things about him, and then plug him back into the text here in Philippians chapter 2 and see the points Paul is making about him. We probably know more about Timothy than we do about any of the other travel companions that the Apostle Paul had. Timothy is introduced to us in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. This is when Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he is passing through an area that he and Barnabas had been to on their first journey a few years prior, where they had preached the gospel and they had founded some churches there. Well, here he is passing through this area, verses 1 and 2 of Acts chapter 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. We know that Timothy, his parents are mentioned here in this passage. His mother is identified as a Jewish woman who was a believer. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and at verse 5, we learn her name and we learn about Timothy's grandmother as well. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." When we take that verse and we combine it with this verse here, we understand some about his family background. His mother was Jewish and then became a Christian. Very likely his grandmother did the same. His father is described as a Greek. And we would understand from that that he certainly wasn't a Jew and he wasn't a Christian at the time that Paul was visiting here in Acts chapter 16. So his mother and his grandmother are credited for doing the work that was necessary to instill Timothy's faith within him. It's very likely that Paul converted Lois and Eunice and Timothy the first time he came through that region with Barnabas. We don't know that for sure, but there are a number of times that Paul refers to Timothy as his son or his son in the faith. We know he wasn't his biological son, so very likely he's talking about the fact that he begot him in the gospel. By the time that Paul has come through in this second missionary journey, Timothy has proven himself to be very active in his faith and highly esteemed by the brethren. And Paul sees something special in him. Paul sees that he has what it takes to help him in the work that he's doing, and so he wants to take Timothy with him. And so Timothy joins Paul at this point and is with Paul pretty much for the rest of the New Testament. Timothy traveled with Paul throughout his entire second journey. When we look at Paul's third journey, Timothy's not always mentioned as being present, but he's mentioned as being present when he is in Ephesus, and he's in the list of brethren who are accompanying him on his return to Rome in Acts chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. We don't read of Timothy being in Jerusalem or in Caesarea when Paul was arrested, and we don't read of Timothy being on the ship with Paul as he is traveling to Rome as a prisoner, but we know that Timothy was in Rome because he was there when he wrote Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So he was there with Paul in Rome while he was a prisoner. We know Paul was released from that imprisonment and then later was arrested again, and it was then that he was condemned to death. And so we learn from the book of 2 Timothy that Paul wants Timothy to come to him in Rome as he is awaiting his execution. Whether Timothy made it prior to his execution or not, we don't know. But we do know that Paul wanted him there. So I don't know about you, but this is quite a resume. If a preacher was to show up here and here are my credentials and lay this out, this would be quite impressive, wouldn't it? Timothy was a faithful co-laborer with the Apostle Paul as he did his work of spreading the gospel. Now let's take that information, what we know about Timothy, and let's plug it back into the text that we're studying here in the book of Philippians. Paul says, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." He's saying, "I'm hoping to send Timothy to you. He is a man who needs no introduction. You know of his proven character." By the time this epistle is written, Timothy has had more than enough time to prove himself to the brotherhood. There are enough experiences in enough places that everyone knows who Timothy is. He has an unquestionable track record. Paul says, "You know of his proven character." I believe the King James Version just uses a form of the word proven, that he has proven himself. This is taken from a Greek word, dokimi, which is a word that was used of gold and silver that had been tested and could be accepted as currency. He's the real deal. Timothy has already been through the crucible. He's already been through the refining fire. He has already proven himself. So when he shows up, we don't have to spend any time with you getting acquainted with him or learning, is he really genuine or not? He is the real thing. Timothy had been very careful to follow everything that he had learned from the Apostle Paul. Could you imagine the privilege that Timothy had to spend that much time with Paul and to not only learn from him from his verbal teaching and from his private teaching, but also to see his example? Paul writes of this, he speaks of this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." You've carefully followed everything that I've lived, everything that I've believed, everything that I've taught. Timothy was right there, step in step with him. Look at verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. These places he mentions in verse 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 are all the cities where Paul and Barnabas preached on the first missionary journey. Outside of, if I'm not mistaken, outside of Lystra is where the Apostle Paul was drug out of the city and stoned to death. But then later on, he revived, went back into the city, and went on. That's something that happened during that time. Mothers, put yourself in the place of Eunice for just a moment. You were there. That happened in the place where you lived. Paul, the last time he came to town, the people in town were tired of his preaching, they were upset at his preaching, and they took him outside of the city to stone him to death. The next time he shows up in town, he looks at your son and says, I'm taking your son with me. How many of you would be happy to see your son leave with Paul, knowing that he was going to go with him to preach the gospel? And yet, there's no indication that Eunice was anything other than supportive of her son going and doing this work. So behind Timothy is a great mother, a great woman of faith, who had to bring up her son without the help of a believing husband. And it was done. It was done very well. He was careful to follow everything that Paul had showed him. You look down in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Scriptures. So here again, the Apostle Paul is paying due respect to his mother and grandmother in the raising that he had. That work was done before Paul ever showed up. Paul simply built on that, and that's what made Timothy the man that he was. Not only was he faithful to follow the example that Paul set before him, but he was faithful to teach only those things that he had learned to others. In the book of 1 Corinthians at chapter 4 and verse 17, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 17, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And from this passage, we make the point that Paul, everywhere he went, he preached the same thing. Guess what? Everywhere Timothy went, he preached the same thing as well. So he was faithful to teach those things that he'd been taught, and he was faithful to teach only those things that he had been taught. That was his proven character. Brethren, listen to me, especially those of you who are younger. The choices we make in life, the way we react to the trials and sufferings that we face, as well as the way we react to the successes that we enjoy, all of this becomes a part of our character. All of these experiences and all these choices that we make, they all combine to form our proven character. This is what could be said about Timothy. What can be said about you? What could brethren say about you? Because Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren there in Lystra and Derbe. How were you spoken of by others? Or let me put it this way. You get to write the script for your own life. Now, there are things that are out of our control. Time and chance happen to all of us. But the big decisions, the direction we're going in our life, we get to write the script for our life. But we don't get to write the reviews. It's the people who know you that get to write the reviews. What are they going to write about you? What are they going to write? What are they going to say? That has to do with your character and the kind of person that you are. Timothy was careful to follow the Lord. And in doing that, he had a proven character. Let's move on from this. Let's look at another thing that is said here in verse 21. Philippians 2, verse 21. You know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. He served with Paul. What was that service? What was it that Timothy did? Well, we know that Timothy was an evangelist. And so if we take 1 and 2 Timothy and we scan through those books, we can get a picture of what is required of an evangelist. What is the work that an evangelist is to do? Well, an evangelist is to preach, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, but also to teach, to instruct the brethren, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 6. Preachers are not just to talk the talk, but they must walk the walk. They must set the right example, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Preachers are to teach others to teach. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we know that preachers have the obligation from the Lord to appoint elders. We learn that from the qualifications that are given in 1 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 13, but also when you add to that Titus chapter 1 verse 5, I left you in Crete to appoint elders in every city. Also, preachers have the undesirable and uncomfortable task when necessary to confront and rebuke elders when they sin. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 19 through 23, Paul goes into detail instructing Timothy about that undesirable part of his work. So this would have been the service that Timothy rendered to the Lord. But notice the text says, in Philippians, the text says that he worked with me. For you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. In addition to the normal responsibilities that are given to an evangelist, Timothy also was a messenger for the Apostle Paul. He served as a messenger for the Apostle. Paul couldn't be everywhere all the time. As you read through his writings, he would have loved to have been. Not only did he have a desire to go into places he'd never been and preach those places, but his heart was also with every congregation that was started as a result of his efforts. He just had a hard time leaving them. Paul couldn't be everywhere at every place. And we know that there wasn't instant communication back then. There wasn't FaceTime. There weren't Zoom meetings. There wasn't even picking up the phone and calling and talking to someone in real time. If you wanted to know what was happening somewhere else or wanted to send word to someone somewhere else, you had to send somebody. You had to send somebody, and then you had to pray that they got there safely, pray that they were faithful in what you sent them to do, and then wait for them to come back. And that's exactly what Timothy did many times for the Apostle Paul. I've never heard Timothy spoken of this way. But could we not say that Timothy was the apostle's apostle? An apostle is, by definition, one who is sent. And Timothy was one that the Apostle Paul sent. Now, don't leave here saying our preacher thinks Timothy was an apostle. That's not what I'm saying. But Timothy was trusted to do a very important work for the Apostle Paul. And he did this work. We know that he did it in Corinth. We just read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, that Paul was going to send Timothy to them. And he was going to remind them of what Paul would say if he was there. So that was an important work to do. At the close of 1 Corinthians, at chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, Paul writes, "And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren." You get that? He sent Timothy to do something, and he's waiting on Timothy to come back. And he's going to come through, and he's going to see you. Don't mistreat him, and don't keep him there. Send him on his way. He was an important messenger. This all began, I believe, after the church was founded in Thessalonica on Paul's second missionary journey. Paul was run out of town. He had to leave this church a lot sooner than he had wanted to. If we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Here, Timothy is sent. I believe the first time he is sent for the purpose of going back to this young church and building them up and strengthening them. Because Paul couldn't stand it any longer. He couldn't stand being away from them any longer. So Timothy was sent. Now look at verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by our faith. Timothy brought back a report, a favorable report, and it brought comfort to Paul and his companions. That's the important role that Timothy often played with the Apostle Paul. And what Paul is saying in our text in Philippians 2 is, I hope to send Timothy to do this again for you. I hope to send Timothy to you so that you can be strengthened, you can be comforted, and so I can know how you are doing. And I can be comforted, and my joy can be made complete. Now, Paul says concerning Timothy, concerning this work, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. I want to know. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Two ways to look at this phrase, I have no one like-minded. We could either look at it like, wow, Paul, that's not saying much about Silas or Luke or Epaphroditus or any of these other men who you list as your co-laborers. But that's not the way we need to take this. It may be that there wasn't anyone else there at the time, that Timothy was the only one. Instead of looking at it as Paul speaking badly about the others who were trying to help him, let's just take it for what it is, a great and sincere compliment of Timothy. There was something special about Timothy. He was like-minded. This word like-minded is translated from a compound Greek word that literally means same soul. That is, that the prefix is something that is the same, it is the likeness, it is alike, and the second word literally means soul. A similar thing could be said about David and Jonathan from 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, that they were joined at the soul. Do you have anyone like that in your life? Do you have anyone like that in your life that you are one with that person regarding something? Maybe it's your spouse. I hope so. Maybe it's a relative, maybe a distant relative. You're closer to this relative than anyone else in your extended family. That's okay. Maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ here or maybe somewhere else, that when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to the Scripture, just right down the line, you're on the same page with everything. Aren't those people special? Isn't it great that we have those kind of people in our lives? That's the kind of person that Timothy was for Paul. And so there's no doubt that Timothy brought Paul a great amount of joy in his life. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Timothy cared about the church in Philippi. And that shouldn't be hard for us to understand and appreciate. Timothy was there when the church was established in Acts chapter 16. He was there when Paul converted Lydia at the riverside. He was there when Paul converted the Philippian jailer. He was there when that church started. He passed through there numerous other times when he was traveling with Paul. Timothy wasn't in it for the money. Paul says that there are others who seek their own, not the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't Timothy. He wasn't in it for the money. He wasn't in it for personal glory. He was ready to personally sacrifice to help the church in Philippi. He stood ready to serve Christ anywhere he was needed. That's what Paul has to say about this great man Timothy. But there's something interesting. I wanted to include this as well. Paul, he has a desire to send Timothy to the church in Philippi. That is something that he wants to do, but there's one other purpose that Timothy can serve that's of greater urgency than being a messenger to the church in Philippi. Notice again in our text, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, the last two verses. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Notice Paul is saying here, I want to send word to you now. And I would love to do it with Timothy, but I can't spare Timothy now. When I learn how things are going with me, if they are going well and I'm going to be released, I'll send Timothy to you. In the meantime, I'm sending Epaphroditus, and we'll talk about that the next time we study in Philippians. But for now, Timothy needs to stay here. Remember, Paul doesn't know for sure if he's going to be released or if he's going to be put to death. And if he's going to be put to death, he wants Timothy there with him. We can see that especially when Paul writes 2 Timothy. When Paul knows he's going to be put to death, who does he want with him? Timothy, get to me quickly. He wants Timothy there with him when he breathes his last. And he doesn't know yet if he's going to be put to death or released. So for the time being, Timothy's staying with me. But as soon as I can, I'm going to send him to you. We get some insight, not just into the Apostle Paul, but we get some good insight into Timothy in this passage, don't we? And that's what we have to do often as we're looking at these men and women from the Bible. We have to take what we can from here and there and put together that biographical sketch. And this passage in Philippians chapter 2 tells us an awful lot about Timothy. Our theme as we're studying through the book of Philippians is to rejoice. And Paul's going to tell us in Philippians 4 and verse 4 to rejoice in the Lord always. We always have a reason to rejoice in the Lord, but our text we've studied today is reminding us that oftentimes we have reason to rejoice in one another, don't we? There are people in our lives that God has blessed us with that give us reason to rejoice. And what I want to remind us to do as we close this study, I want us to remember to be thankful to God for putting those people in our lives. That we have people in our lives that bring us joy, that help us, that bring us comfort and encouragement. So let's thank God for them. And secondly, let's do everything in our power to be that kind of a person for other people. That is how we can best serve the Lord and serve our brethren. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for Timothy. Thankful for his heart, thankful for his desire to serve you, his faithfulness, and thankful that you have made his deeds and his character a part of your divine record, that we can look to him and we can learn from him, we can be challenged by him, we can accept the challenge and make ourselves better and more faithful servants of yours. We are thankful for the people that you have put in our lives. People that have made a difference, people that have helped us, people that have comforted us and encouraged us. We praise you and thank you for putting those people in our lives, and we pray that you would help us to in turn be that kind of person for as many people as we can. Bless us as we serve you. Bless us as we strive to be a helper and an encourager to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're now dismissed to our classes.